morning. Today is Monday, December the 12th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles, is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. It's great to be back with you again. Happy December. Happy Monday. Happy chilly day.
Well, you're just kind of a happy little guy today,
aren't
you?
Well, you know, I've always believed that you got to start off with a high note on Monday. Otherwise, the week really can drag
out. Okay.
But this is a busy time of year.
Now, most of the publics are out this Friday, right?
Yes, that's
on
correct.
The 16th.
Most of the public schools, right.
Why doesn't it align with the semester break? If we had an Etch-a-Sketch and started all over again, wouldn't it seem to make sense to have the major break of the year in the middle of the year to happen at the midway point?
Well, it's interesting that you should mention that. Of course, semesters are a high school or a secondary school issue because elementaries use trimesters mostly in this area, not splitting the school into semesters. But to get to your point, why doesn't it? Well, because it traditionally hasn't. But there are conversations going on right now in Fortuna talking about looking at a modified calendar for next year that will achieve that very objective. And so we may begin to move in that direction. And there are many places in California where that is true, where the Christmas break actually is the end of the first semester. But you also have to start in mid-August if you want to make that happen.
Yeah, you bump a little early and you get out a little sooner. Yeah,
right.
I figure that part out.
You got that worked out?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Our quote this morning, by the way, comes from Tristan Bernard. Men are always sincere. They change sincerities, that's all.
Brian. Well, okay.
So that kind of makes sense then with the schedule. Now, I think most folks are familiar with the agrarian historical reasons for the way things are now.
Yes.
But with the fact that we don't have that much agrarian anymore nationally, you know, I don't see too many folks in aren't growing in San Francisco, aren't out in the fields.
Not quite the same crop cycle.
Yeah. with their scythes, cutting down the wheat. it would seem like that would be part of all this educational reformation that you've been seeing and dealing with over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yes, and I do think the calendar is going to be something that you're going to begin to see some transformation of. It's hard to make some changes, but that's not to say they shouldn't be made. Northern Humboldt High School District a couple of years ago also explored this option, and they decided not to move forward with it at the time. But I do see it as a trend. So I think you're going to begin to see mid-August through Christmas being basically the first semester for high schools, and then when you come back in January through May and probably get out then the end of May rather than going into June.
So much more similar
to CR and HSU.
Bingo.
Yes. Now, families are going to have to get used to it because they're not used to, starting school, at least here in the north part of the state, in August. But in Southern California and the Bay Area, they have converted to those calendars.
It's a happening thing, huh?
It's coming our way.
The only thing that I kind of go about is the county fair.
Yes.
Last year, got bumped back deep into August, and I know that had to do with some other circumstances. But
we never
know.
A lot
of areas have got county fairs during the school year.
That's right. So, that's true.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop. Yeah, okay, it's a little sideways. With Gary Eagles. That would be the clock reference, not Gary. I don't think.
Well, it is a Monday.
Yes.
No.
Last time we got together was after the election, but we really didn't have things settled down yet.
100%. That's right.
Are they starting to settle down, the bonds and all those different types of things that were, well, even plastic bags, I'm sure, are impacting you guys somehow also.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, there's a lot of things going down, more than just, you know, checking off the shopping list for Christmas. This is the time of year where we begin to take a look at what the next year holds, because, you know, the whole cycle starts again when the governor in this state rolls out his proposed budget by the 10th of January. And that is what public funded institutions here in California start with. And we spend several months utilizing that initial proposal that he will make to plan our budgets. And then when they do the May revision and an update budget, and then we see the track record of legislation that occurs over the spring, then we get a better idea for what the future holds. This is unique, and of course, this year happens every 4 years where you have a significant change at the federal level as well. And in this particular case, President-elect Trump has named an interesting individual as the next Secretary of Education, and that could have a major influence on schools throughout this nation. And maybe we could talk a little bit about it. But we also have a restored supermajority of Democrats in the state legislature. That's going to portend certainly some philosophic and programmatic issues relative to the use of state funds and program priorities. So there's a lot of stuff that is happening, and we're not quite sure whether it'll be a Santa Claus bringing goodies to the education community, or it might be the Grinch who stole Christmas at both levels.
Well, the bonds that passed.
Yes.
Or were extended, I guess. One extended, so that had to be something to give you a little bit of surety.
Now you're talking about in terms of the tax rates?
Yeah.
Well, it did help to maintain some funding for public education going forward. And we have talked about that in various programs in the past, that, you know, the target of funding, we used to refer to as Prop 98, for funding in this state, was actually a very low level of funding, but we struggled to even maintain that during the recession. The state has recovered in its budget. Education budgets, therefore, have recovered to some degree. But we are still in the bottom 10 to 12% in terms of public funding for education in the state compared to other states in the United States. I'm not sure that that's going to turn around anytime soon because, frankly, while California's economy is improving, it certainly isn't going by leaps and bounds.
Well, I don't know if anybody really is doing that.
No, and I think that helped to contribute to the new president's election is the perception that the economy is okay, but people want more than okay. And they want changes in economic outlook of jobs.
And not falling down the hillside anymore is good, but when you're at the bottom of the canyon, you still remember where you started.
Yes.
Yeah, before you made that one step. Yeah.
That's right.
So if there is a little bit of stability there, does the attitude change with those budget decision makers up the ladder to either allocate more dollars or allocate more dollars towards certain areas? It's always been an intriguing dichotomy for me that Silicon Valley, with all the tech it has and all of the talk and all the da-da-da, isn't more of a donator to the educational systems.
Well, I think they are if you live close at hand. But obviously, if you live as far away as we do, we're not influenced by that. What you're going to see, and we've already begin to hear some rumors in terms of coming out of Sacramento, is that there's going to be a battle between the legislative Democrats and even the governor, because the governor is a more conservative budget planner than what the Democrats would like him to be. And there's going to be a battle over money. And Governor Brown has always projected revenues on the conservative side. And when those revenues came in higher than projected, then he would turn around and want to use those monies for one-time investments, not long-term
commitments.
That might be unsustainable in the future. And his Democratic colleagues are saying, look, these revenues have been up for several years now. We want to commit them to long-term investments. One of those things being universal preschool. And while I am supportive of early education and high-quality early education, I would say that is not the highest priority and certainly not here. And they've never been able to design a universal preschool program that actually works in the rural areas. And it would make it very difficult for us to deliver. I'd much rather see emphasis in some other areas and opening up slots and supports for preschool programs in those areas where the demand is up, but not mandating another program that really doesn't work in all 1,000 school districts in the state of California.
Demonstrated by market interest rather than by Sacramento pushing it through?
Yes, yes.
I always think of Silly Putty in Play-Doh, you know, when you squish through the star thing.
Yeah.
That's what I think of with some of these mandates. All right, another secret
image
has been disclosed. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles, Superintendent of the County Office of Ed. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by the Salvation Army. Gary, with the Proposition 64 passage, does that change the drug-free zone?
No.
I keep seeing the signs, and okay.
But it doesn't.
But there are still drug busts that are happening within the zones. And
There are changes with regard to indoor grows, but you can't, apparently it can't waft through the neighborhood, and people can use privately in their own homes. But again, in terms of visible productivity and drug transaction and those things, no, they're still the safe drug-free school zones. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, because those drug-free school zones are supposed to be zones around bus stop areas as well as school locations themselves. And yet, I think law enforcement has always, since the prevalence of medical marijuana, has always been a little sensitive to that, as long as the use is done inside the house and not visible to students. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. But I can tell you that in terms of the laws governing whether it's students coming to school under the influence or staff, all of the employment laws and all of the issues with regard to no drugs at school are still on the books. I don't see that changing. And the law itself certainly didn't make those changes. And I don't see them actually changing when that law is fully enforced. And what is it, 2018, I guess?
I would imagine it's going to be driven through the courts. Yeah, there'll be case studies.
Yes.
Be the ones that make the adjustments rather than doing it.
Well, that does seem to be the way that most of our laws are fine-tuned, is through various courts tests.
Fine. You're the sledgehammer.
In some cases.
Yeah, sledgehammer tuned.
No, we've got a lot of things going on in this, as we look ahead. As I said, this is a time of year where we begin to, think about what might roll out in terms of support the following year, and both financially and programmatically. And I see this at a time that if Governor Brown wants to leave any kind of permanent legacy, I see this upcoming legislative session as the prime time for him to introduce what that might be. Now, that's not to say he won't influence a year from now as well, because he'll still be in office, but he'll be definitely a short timer at that point. So he, I believe, he is at his peak right now politically. And the state is at a better position economically for him to be able to make a permanent impression. So it'll be interesting to see what he rolls out in terms of new initiatives coming up this January.
Well, and politically, too, you had already referenced the supermajority.
Yes.
Yeah, just like the Trumpster's got his. The governor's got his. Yes. So there's opportunities for whatever.
Well, there is. What's interesting, both at the state and federal level, is that while the party, in this case the Democrats in the state, the Republicans at the federal level, share the commonplace with the president or the governor in terms of the badge or the label, they don't always agree. And it'll be very interesting to see what are the common points between Governor Brown and the Democrats in the state legislature, and particularly around the economic situations here in the state. At the federal level, programmatically, it'll be interesting to see where he comes about. And I think that's where it's been interesting, and most observers are following very closely the people that Trump is nominating for his cabinet, because these are the leaders that will help implement the policies, and he selected some interesting individuals. And from as far as education is concerned, he selected somebody who not only never went to public schools, has been a champion actually against public education. So there's a great deal of consternation, I can tell you right now, out there in the field, in terms of exactly where the federal government's role is going to be.
Because of the unknown nature?
Well, there will be a more hands-off. Republicans have tended in the past to not want to impose quite as much on states and to give states a little bit more flexibility with regard to educational programming. But on the other hand, there's some worrisome proposals out there. For example, one of the few things that Trump did talk about was channeling $20 billion at the federal level into more charter schools. Well, the individual he has selected, is nominated, Betsy DeVos, has been a longtime supporter of charter schools, but privatized charter schools and religious schools. And that's very disconcerting on a number of levels. But if you just even look at it from an economic standpoint, $20 billion is a lot of money. It's more money than the federal government puts forward for special ed. It's more money than it puts forward for Title I, which is the support for low-income areas around the country. Where do they get $20 billion? Is it at the expense of those two particular programs? In which case, that would be a tremendous disservice to the poor rural areas of this state and nation. And so, yeah, there's a little bit of worry there.
I would think there may be a little bit of a counterbalance, just because those are also the poor rural areas of the country are those that supported them, too.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how those dynamics play out.
Yeah. I don't think Marin County receives an awful lot of that, nor really was a big proponent of his.
No, I suspect.
Just a sense.
He won't even plan a trip through there at any
point. I don't think so. KINS, News and Information.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Gary Eagles. So, Gary, this week being the last one before Christmas break, what do you hope that the kids get this week in school? I mean, if you could pop into each class in the county, what would you hope to see this week?
Well, That's an interesting question. Nobody's ever framed it that way before. What would I hope to see? Well, I'll tell you what. This is a time for celebration and an opportunity for programs to showcase student work. We've already seen that in the last few works by some arts and crafts fairs. We've seen it in musical productions and in plays, celebrating the holiday season as well as we're a significant way into the school year now. So young people have been practicing on those instruments that they started to learn at the beginning of the year, now that they can actually play a few notes. This is a time for celebration, and of course it's also a time for reflection. And personally speaking, I think after all that's gone on in the last several months, particularly at the federal level with the campaigns, we did not showcase America's best as a public, as a culture, as a society, as a leader in the world. And I would really hope that now that that part has passed, that we can come together and really appreciate what we have. You know, we are not a perfect system. We have our faults. But I'd like to think that we're pretty darn good in a lot of ways. And I would hope that we can all use this time to reflect for the gifts that we have, for the freedom to practice any religion of our choice or no religion to choose, where we can start really afresh with the new year. One of the nice things about education, Brian, is that there are two new years. You know, we have the traditional one that's either August or September, and then we have the one in January. I don't know, as a human being, I like the thought of having a new year because then I can kind of start over again and maybe get the future better.
Either start again or restart again.
Or restart.
Depending on... That's right. You don't hear too much about New Year's resolutions in July, do you?
Not too many.
No.
No. But maybe next month we'll share each other's New Year's resolution. Maybe that's what we can make the program on.
Oh, boy.
January.
I'll look forward to that one. You betcha.
Well, you happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy.
And hopefully everybody's back in town.
Safely.
And on time. Well, let's shoot the moon. See everybody tomorrow.